We're going to talk about conflicts, and I find it interesting that I've been given this assignment as conflict. I have a Mount Everest amount of information, but I only have an anthill worth of time. I've got a Titanic ship loaded, but only a kayak that I can give to you this morning. So what you're going to get is not everything concerning conflict, by no means. But I hope it is encouraging. I hope it causes you to think how I can live my life biblically as it relates to conflict. I think it's ironic that also this is July 3rd. July 3rd. July 4th is tomorrow. And we celebrate what was a conflict between the United States and Britain. And that was resolved. And we have freedom today. I'm not going to talk about Independence Day. I'm not going to talk about conflict schedules. Or when you talk about conflict of interest, I'm not talking about conflict of interest. What I want to talk about is addressing conflicts as it relates to relationships. As it relates to relationships. This is a little bit more of a touchy issue. Why? Because it deals with other people. It deals with other people. And that can be very difficult at times. So let's get started in defining what conflict is and what conflict is not. And let's take the what it is not first, and then we'll look at the definition of conflict. Okay, what is conflict not? It's not a difference of opinion. A conflict is not a difference of opinion. I like chocolate ice cream. Others may like pralines and cream. That's an opinion issue. That's an opinion issue. Now, opinions don't necessarily mean that there's a conflict, but they can morph into conflicts. Okay? A disagreement with someone is not a conflict. Some would say that the Cardinals are the best baseball team. Others would say the Cubbies are. Obviously, we know the Cubs are not, and the Cardinals are the best. But that goes without saying. Okay, we can have a disagreement about that, but that doesn't necessarily mean we have a conflict. It's just a disagreement. Now, that could lead into a conflict, but that is not a conflict. So what is a conflict? What is the definition of a conflict? Conflict, in short, is when two parties are in opposition to one another. Opposition. To define this a little bit better, we can look at the Latin word from which we get the word conflict. And the Latin word means to strike. To strike. It's a military word meaning to fight against. There's opposition there. When we fight against. When one is in conflict with another, it could be verbal strikes. Or it could be physical strikes at another person. Stuart Scott, in his book Communication and Conflict Resolution, defines conflict as when both parties sin against one another in communication or in their actions are then in opposition to one another. There's opposing sides and it's strong. Okay? So having a conflict is more than difference of opinion or disagreement. There's opposition to one another. Give an example. Wife says to a husband, "When are you going to clean out the garage? It is a mess. Am I going to have to do it myself or am I going to have to get my mother to come and clean out the garage?" Husband, "Well, while you're at it, why don't you have your mom clean up this house? This house is a mess. You're the worst housekeeper that ever lived." wife. Well, it would not be a mess if you'd pick up after yourself. You are so lazy. You're a lazy bum. Husband, I do pick up after myself. You're the one that leaves dishes unwashed and don't fold the laundry after it's dried. And, you know, this goes on and on and on and on. Is this voicing an opinion or having a disagreement? No, this is a conflict here. And someone would say on the surface that this conflict is over the area of cleaning the garage versus cleaning the house. But there are some deeper issues in this marriage. What relationships are affected by conflict? Well, conflict is not just relegated to marriage between a husband and wife, but any personal relationship has conflict potential. For example, there is parental conflict where there's a parent and a child can be in conflict. There can be a parent or an adult child in conflict. How about the workplace? There could be a conflict between you and a coworker. You think you know how a project needs to be done. They think they know how a project needs to be done. And there's conflict. There's opposition. In a church, conflict might be between you and another church member over the color of the paint on the walls. Your neighbors. You may have conflict over property line or noise from fireworks you or they set off tomorrow. I don't know if you guys have heard, but in my neighborhood, there is some conflict going on over setting off of fireworks. We see conflict in Scripture, and it starts back in Genesis. It starts back with Adam and Eve. If you remember, God said, "Have you eaten from the tree which I command you not to eat?" Adam says, "It's not my fault. It's the woman you gave me." And the woman says, "It's not my fault. It's the serpent. He deceived me." And then it just progresses all through the Old Testament. And we see Cain and Abel, they had a conflict. That didn't turn out so well. You can go on throughout the Old Testament, even into the New Testament. Can you imagine the conflict between the disciples? You've got the IRS agent, Matthew, and he supports Rome, right? Okay, and then you got this terrorist, Simon the Zealot, who's adamantly against Rome. They're disciples. These guys were 180 degrees out from one another. Do you think they sat down and ate lunch together? Do you think there was times of friction between those two because of what they had been doing all their life? Well, maybe James and John, the sons of thunder, came to separate them. What do you think? I think there was some conflict within those 12. We see conflict between Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 15. There was so much contention between those two over taking Mark on the second missionary journey that they parted ways. So conflict is defined as being at odds, fighting with words, or physically fighting against each other. It's an opposition, one with another. Opposition. So what is the source of conflict? Where is that? Where does conflict come from? You know, we can go to Scripture and find that out. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, Scripture provides everything for us pertaining to life and godliness. We can go to Scripture, look in Scripture, and see what God has to say about a subject. And also, we can find resolution to our life problems in Scripture if we're willing to take some time, read and study what God has for us. So let's turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We'll start with verse 1. I'll go ahead and start here. James chapter 4, verse 1. James writes, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you?" Stop. Right there. Stop. The Greek word for conflict means fight or combat. That's what that word conflicts means in the Greek. All right? James is addressing believing Jews who are in opposition or fighting against one another. There is conflict within the camp, and he's addressing it. Note the question he asks. He says, "What is the source?" He doesn't say, "How can we resolve this issue?" He says, "What's the source of the problem?" He says this because if you can get to the source, you can find the remedy after you find the source. He continues, "Is not the source your pleasures that war against your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask for wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He justly desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives us a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." What is the source? It's you. You're the source. It's not them. It's interesting. The ultimate source is you. And he says that, if you count up the amount of times, says you or your 15 times in 5 verses. So what's the source? It's you. You're the source. You're the source of all the conflict. You're the source of all the quarrels. It's not them, it's you. It's your selfishness, your pride that works itself with the following attitudes or actions. Here's 3 of them. If you see here in verse 1, is not the source your pleasures? Your pleasures are not being fulfilled. Secondly, your lust or your desires. It's your lust, your desires. Not their lust. It's your lust, your desires. You are envious and cannot get what you want. Verse 2. The ultimate self source is conflict. It's you. It's self. It's selfishness. That's the problem. That's the source of conflict. I've given in the notes there an illustration of James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6a. And this comes from a handout from Stuart Scott. And it shows here that my demands, my rights, my needs, my expectations, they're all selfish desires. That's where the source is. And all this does, these heart desires of selfishness creates wars and fighting. God is opposed to selfishness. It is sin. All sin is rooted in self. All sin is rooted in self. God is opposed to selfishness. So, what are some selfish responses to conflict? Well, let me give you a few here, a couple of them. First one, escape. Escape. We take ourselves out of the conflict. We escape rather than resolve the conflict. And we try to escape by, there's three different things I've got here listed, by denial. Pretend the conflict doesn't even exist. We deny it. We push it in the back of our minds. We push it out. It doesn't exist. That only causes more conflict because it's not resolved. It may bring temporary relief, but it doesn't resolve the issue of conflict. We think, well, they'll see it my way eventually. And what is that? That's selfishness. That is selfishness. Let time pass and it will resolve itself. It will resolve itself. A good example of this is Eli with his sons in 1 Samuel. He did not take heed to parenting his sons like he should have. He waited. It would take care of itself. Did it? No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Another way to escape is flight. We run away from conflict. This can be presented like pulling away from relationships. Well, I just won't see them again. I'll just kind of get out of their life. I'll avoid them at all costs. I'll quit my job because I don't like my coworkers, and I didn't like that job anyway. I'll change churches. This other church has better color paint on the walls. That's what I'll do. A third way of escape, sadly, this occurs as some people just take their lives. They commit suicide. This is when people lose all hope in resolving the conflict, and they don't want to resolve it. And they just take their life. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 4, Saul took his life because of pride. He didn't want to be killed by the enemy, so he committed suicide. It was pride. It was pride on his part. We've looked at escape as being a method of resolution, but it's selfish. Another selfish response would be attack. It's kind of the opposite of escaping. This is attacking. And it would look like having assault on someone, either by physical force or verbal manipulation or intimidation by on the other person. Physical abuse could be used. Verbal assault could be used by gossip, blackmail, or slander. That'd be assaulting the other person. You look at Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15 with Stephen before the religious leaders. They actually stirred up the crowd with false statements about Stephen. because they didn't like him. They didn't want him around. They accused him of false sayings. They assaulted him verbally in that section. Litigation, lawsuits against other believers. This brings shame on the name of Jesus. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians. He raises the question, is what is going on with you Corinthians? You're taking your fellow believers before an unbelieving judge. What's with that? Hello? Are you thinking? Murder is another way of attack. This is very extreme cases where people will win a conflict by eliminating the other person. In Genesis chapter 4, did not Cain kill Abel? He eliminated the conflict, got rid of him. Stephen was put to death. They eliminated the conflict that killed Stephen. You know, although David and Goliath's approach to conflict resolution is a means by eliminating the other person, and some people may consider it biblical. Yes, it's in the Bible, if you consider that biblical. But that is taking an event clearly out of context, is what happened. That is not a godly way to handle conflict. It's not. So, how is conflict resolved? How should a believer deal with conflict correctly, biblically? Biblically. Well, let's go back to James, because James tells us how to do that. James chapter 4, we left off there in verse 6. It says, but he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. So what is the resolution here? It's a change of heart. It's a change of heart. There are two changes that come into play here. The first one is humility. Humility. Submit to yourself? No, submit to God. Submit to God. Be a child of God. Resist being a child of Satan. Don't be a child of the devil. And the second thing in all this is repentance. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Repentance. So we have humility and repentance, those two things in having a changed heart. Humility is putting off yourself. Putting yourself off. If you look at the illustration in the handout, you'll see here it's the desire of humility. Turn your desires from selfishness and pride to humility. This gives honor to God by your attitude and actions. God gives us the grace to humble ourselves if we're willing. We can communicate with others. We serve in love, not out of selfishness of the other person. What are some practical aspects? What does this look like? I would point out three points to consider. First, confess your sin to God. Confess your sin to God. Ask him to reveal your heart. What is in your heart? In Psalm 139, David states, "It is God who knows when David sat down and stood up." David says, God knows what David is thinking and what he's going to say before he even says it. God knows these things. He knows what I'm like. And then in the last part of chapter 139, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." David is wanting God to expose his heart to David. "Expose my heart, Lord. Expose it so I can see it. What is the sin that's going on in my heart? Show me." It's interesting in Jeremiah chapter 17, and we've heard verse 9, have we not? Let me read from Legacy Translation. Jeremiah writes 500 years after David, but boy, is it powerful here what Jeremiah says. Verse 9 says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick." It's incurable. It's sickness unto death. That is our heart. Not a very good picture, is it? But then read verse 10. God says, "I, Yahweh, search the heart. I test the innermost being," your gut. He tests your gut. Okay? "Even to give each man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds." God knows me inside out. He knows what I'm like. He knows what you're like inside out. Ask him to reveal those things to you. Huh. Do you want to look? Do you really want to know? Ask the one that created you. He will tell you what you're like. Then you can confess to him the sins that are in your heart. Your sins of selfishness. Your sins of pride. Secondly, reconciliation. Conflicts usually damage relationships. And when that happens, there needs to be reconciliation. That's in order. This is done by forgiveness and by confession. And these are tough. This isn't easy, but this is tough. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 to 24. "Therefore, if you are presenting your offerings at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering. I don't want your sacrifice. I don't want your singing. I don't want your reading of God's word. I don't want any of that. You go and there leave that at the offering before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother. Then come and present your offerings. Then come and worship me." Be reconciled and do it quickly. That's what he's saying there. I would point out there are seven A's, and I get this from the Peacemakers Ministry. There are seven A's in confession. The first one is address everyone that is involved. Do not go outside the realm of those involved. Don't gossip. It's just between you and that other person or other persons. Address the issue with them. Avoid the words "if," "but," and "maybe." These words are escape words. They're not words of wanting to make things right. You know, if this wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't be here today talking to you. It's not my fault. They're escape words. Okay? Admit specifically. Don't beat around the bush. Don't say, well, I apologize. For what? That doesn't get it. It doesn't say what it is you're asking forgiveness. Better statement is, I wanted to do it my way, and I wanted you to do it my way, and it was very selfish of me to want that. Be specific in your confession. It's so easy, and I have fallen into the same trap of saying, well, I apologize. That kind of covers it all, doesn't it? But if you get down to it, when you say, I ask for forgiveness for doing this, you've got to have some humility there. You've got to have some humility. Acknowledge the hurt. I know that I hurt you by what I said. Accept the consequences. Do not think by confessing to one another that there won't be consequences for your sin. Sometimes we think, okay, if I just confess this, I'm going to get out of this. Not necessarily. Alter your behavior. You may need to perform a self-check to see what is going on within your heart that causes the conflict. What does Scripture say about this attitude or this action? Search the Scriptures. Yeah, that's tough. You know how? Why? It takes time. Do we have time? No. You make time. Why? Because you want your life to glorify God. Isn't that ultimately what you want to do? Well, if you want to do that, you'll be in the Scriptures. And you'll be studying God's Word to see what He has to say. And then finally, ask for forgiveness. Will you forgive me for wanting my own way and acting selfishly? That's tough. Those are tough words to say. Why? Because it's dealing with your pride. It's in your heart. The pride that's in your heart. So ask for forgiveness. And when you confess, that is it. Don't dwell on an issue after you've made the confession, made reconciliation with someone. Don't hold a grudge. Don't hold it over somebody else's head for not responding correctly to you. You're not to bring the issue up again or talk to others about it. It's done. Go on. And live your life glorifying God in what He has for you. So we have first the confession of sin to God. Then there's reconciliation with others. Lastly, negotiation. There may be some material issues in the conflict that need to be resolved, related either to money or property or other assets. This may be the consequence for your, in part, for your conflict, especially if you have conflict with a neighbor and boundary lines. Somebody may have to have a survey done. Pick up on that tab for the survey, just so that there can be reconciliation between you and the neighbor. And what does that tell that neighbor? What does that show that neighbor? That you want to live your life pleasing to God and what He wants for you. It's a great testimony. It's a great testimony. Philippians chapter 2 verse 4 says, each of you should look not only on your own interests, which is easy to do. We have a tendency to lean that way. But Paul goes on and says, but also the interests of others. And that may mean negotiation. Maybe making things right with the other person. It may cost you money or it may cost you time, but do it. Do it. When it's all said and done, what we want is that God to be glorified. That is our objective. We want God to be glorified. He is to be praised. He is to be exalted. And how we live and how we relate to others, we want Him glorified by my life. That is what we want. That's what we desire. So let's do that as it relates to conflicts with other people. Whether that be amongst us, neighbors, co-workers, relatives, deal with the conflict to bring glory to God, bring honor to His name. Okay, I would exhort you to pick up a couple of different sources. One is this Communication and Conflict Resolution by Stuart Scott. This is a real easy read and it's quick, and I like quick and easy. Difficult information to deal with, but I would encourage that. Also, this pamphlet on peacemaker principles. This is a really good item. And it is shorter and easier to read. And has got diagrams. And I love diagrams. Okay? These two are very helpful when it comes to conflict resolution and dealing with conflict with other people. And I highly commend them. Okay. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank You that You're a God that desires us to be obedient. In being obedient, we bring glory to Your name. Father, as it relates to our relationships with others, whether that be with our spouse, whether that be with our neighbors, co-workers, even those in the congregation here, members. Father, I pray that we would be a people that would resolve any conflicts and that we would do it quickly so that we may honor You and bring glory to Your name, and live a life that is most pleasing to You, that we can come and worship You freely, that we can come and sing praises to Your name freely, that we would not be burdened by conflicts in our lives. Father, I pray that You would grant us the courage, grant us the intentionality of resolving any conflicts in our lives. Father, I pray that as You show us our heart, that we would be humbled by what we see, knowing that You are a God that is loving towards us, even when we are disobedient to You. You are so gracious, so merciful, so wonderful in loving us, who are undeserving, who have in the past rejected you. We were actually enemies. There was a conflict. We were fighting against you. But you resolved that by the sending of your Son, taking our sins and giving us eternal hope, giving us an inheritance that cannot be corrupted, cannot vanish away. And we look forward to that day of being with you. I pray these things in your name. Amen.